Hey, this is Mike Miller from the Harmony Street Show. There's a great show in Boca Raton on March 8th at the Carolyn Barry Kay Auditorium. For tickets, go to www.poprockdoopdoublep.com or call 561-922-9927. 561-922-9927. Paulette and I will be there. You be there, too. Here's my good friend, Cousin Brucey, to tell you all about it.
Hi, everybody. This is your Cousin Brucey, inviting you to join me, please, at FAU in beautiful Boca Raton on Friday, March the 8th. See stars of the 50s and 60s in pop, rock, and doo-wop live on stage. Sonny Turner, former lead singer of the Platters.
Only you.
Charlie Thomas's Drifters.
There go my baby. Moving
Danny and the Juniors.
Well, you
can rock
and you can roll and do the stopping, even stroll it at the
Whiskey Bob. Jimmy Gallagher and the Passions. And cousins, for the first time ever here in Florida, the Cascades' original lead singer, John Claude Gumbel.
Listen to the rhythm of the falling rain.
And a very special surprise guest. You're going to love it. So come on, get some tickets. What are you waiting for? See you here in Boca Raton, Friday, March the 8th. It's going to be terrific.
This magic moment.
Tickets go to www.poprockdoopdoublep.com or call 561-922-9927.
Cousin Brucey plays your favorite oldies on CBS FM.
Cousin Brucey!
Cousin Brucey!
Cousin Brucey!
You know, there's something missing here. I
know what it is.
I know what I need. I need some more jam jingles.
This is Mike Miller, and you're here with me on the Harmony Street Show, and it's my pleasure to have on the show a guy who has always been there for us and brought us the greatest music ever recorded, our cousin, the legendary Bruce Morrow. Hi, Bruce.
Hello, Cousin Mike. How are you?
I'm doing great. And let me just tell you what a thrill it is to be talking to you because, you know, I've been with you since day one, as so many of us. And you don't know everybody that's out there, but they sure know you. You've been part of their life.
Well, I'm getting to feel like I know. You know, it's funny. When you're on the air, as you know, it's a very one-on-one thing. That's how I've always run all of my radio and television shows. And I just feel that I'm in the home with people, and I feel that we're all together. And I feel like I do know them, very honestly. And when I talk to somebody on the mic like I'm talking to you right now, I feel that there is a tremendous personal connection. And I guess that's why I'm still around doing this thing, because I have that personal connection that I love so much.
Absolutely. Well, when you're everybody's cousin, you know, that a lot of things bleed in. But nobody sends you their bills, I hope.
No, or shows up for dinner.
Yeah.
have a cousin's meeting, you know?
Yeah.
You don't want that. That's pretty well. Where are you now? What part of Florida are you
in? I'm actually in Wellington, Florida, after having spent 12 years in Boca.
Oh, okay, Boca, because, you know, we're going to talk about that, but I'm coming down to Boca. I'm really looking forward to it, because I haven't made an appearance down in South Florida since I was on WINZ, I guess you could say,
wow,
many years ago.
Yeah, you were in Miami, I remember. Now, you were a Brooklyn guy, right?
Oh, yes, 100%.
Well, so much talent came out of Brooklyn. As a matter of fact, there'll be a Brooklyn group in the show at FAU, and that's Jimmy Gallagher and the Passions.
And they're great. They appeared many times with me, the group at Palisades Amusement Park. You know why Brooklyn has such magic and we turn out such good, talented people? It's the water. It's the water.
I'm sure it was good for the talent.
We have the best pizza.
And it was good for the bagels.
The bagels and the pizza, right?
Now, you started in Bermuda.
Right. Well, wow. I graduated at New York University, where I founded the radio station there.
Right.
I'm very proud of. And then I graduated, you're right, and my first job, well, you know what you do? I'm sure you did the same thing. You send out what we call demo tapes.
Right.
And I sent out, eight of them. I think it was eight demo tapes that I prepared, which a demo tape for the audience is a reel-to-reel tape in those days. We didn't have CDs or digital or any of the convenience of digital transmission.
Right.
So we used to send out tapes that lasted about 5 to 8 minutes, the most.
Right.
And you hope to get the ear of the program director, showing him what you're going to do, reading commercials, introducing records, doing news. Well, the eight of them Six of them came back and told me to go in my father's business. They said, forget about it. And but two of them came back very positive. One was from Panama City, Florida.
Uh-huh.
That I didn't want to take because they wanted me to work not only on the radio but in their other business. Now, you're supposed to ask me, Michael, what's the other business?
So what's the other business?
I'm glad you asked that. Okay. it was a car wash.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, picture that. You're on the air for 4 hours, and then you go dry cars.
Wax on, wax off.
I figured, no, that's right. That's right. You want extra sheen on it, extra shine. But the other one came back, and that intrigued me. It was from Bermuda. Down in Bermuda, paradise for two.
And
I always was intrigued with Bermuda. I mean, after all, it's right off the coast of North Carolina.
Oh, yeah, fabulous.
A mysterious, romantic, foreign country. So I took the job, and I spent a little over a year there, where I developed, this persona, which was always there, but this brought it out.
Yeah, but they called you the Hammer.
How did you know that?
Because I remember I was at the Hamilton Princess when you were on the air.
You got to be kidding.
No, I'm kidding.
All right, good. You're really spooking me out of here. Yeah, the Hammer, because they never heard anybody introduce music, because I brought rock and roll music down to the island. It was pretty quiet until I came down, and I started doing a sort of a top 40 show. And I've always wanted to sound like the music.
Right.
The guy that I admired, became my mentor, was a fellow named Alan Freed. Now, Alan Freed, we consider to be the grandfather of rock and roll radio.
Right.
And he was the very first guy that sounded like the music. He had that beat, the cacophony, the feeling of rock and roll. He used to take this is kind of fun, Mike. I think you'll like this.
Sure.
He used to take a New York City, a Manhattan phone book, and a Bronx phone book, and he'd leave the mic open, and he'd pound on it and beat to the music.
Wow.
That he would do, every once in a while. So he really had this feeling. And I really loved what he did as a kid growing up. I loved the way he sounded like our new music. And that's what I sort of pounded my, went after his sound. I went to visit him several times. And one time he told me, hey, kid, go into your father's business. You don't want this. It's boring. I'm glad I didn't listen to him.
Wow, that's amazing. But then in 1959, you found yourself on Winds, and we all listened to Winds.
That's it. Yeah, that's well. I mean, it's where Cousin Brucey was born. Now, the story I had with Cousin, people usually ask me, how'd you get the name Cousin? Because that's an unusual thing. One night, a little lady came into the studio with the security guard, and this guard asked me, can she come in for a moment? She wants to talk to you. And at this time, we didn't mind. We weren't afraid that somebody's going to take over the radio station, some nutcase.
Right.
So she came into this little booth the size of your desk, probably. And I was spinning records in those times. Now, to those of you listening to this broadcast, if you don't know what a record is, that's that little black thing about 10 inches or 7 inches across that had grooves in it. And it was called a record. We used to call it a black shellac.
7-inch vinyl.
That's it. And how many, Mike, I'm going to give you a little trivia clue.
Sure. Chris,
how many grooves in a 45 RPM record?
Hmm.
Or how many grooves in an LP? A continuous LP. I just gave you a hint. One. And at 45.
One. That's great.
No,
that's right.
That's a great
one.
Trivia.
One continuous.
One continuous, yeah.
One continuous groove, just like the Cousin.
People say 10,000, 20,000. You know, it's really one.
That's no, great. That's a great, that's fabulous.
We have play records and cue them up, and what they call trench the record. We used to cue them up, go back and forth and back and forth,
right,
so they'd start right on the button. Because nothing was digital in those days, nothing was electronic. And so that's the way we started. And I started in Bermuda. I stayed there a year.
Right.
A little Vienna, had a great time. And I came home, I worked at Mutual, and then one day I decided that I got to leave New York City, and I wanted to go someplace warm. So I sent out tapes, and Miami beckoned to me. And I took a job at WINZ in Miami City.
Right.
And I spent about a little over a year there until one day, Michael, one day the curtain decided to fall down. I saw Santa Claus standing in Bermuda shorts under a tree.
In front of the fountain.
No, this is not for me. But actually, if you know your Bible,
right,
the nativity and everything was in the desert. It was warm. But I just couldn't handle it. I said, no, I got to go back to some snow. So I came back here, and I went right on WABC.
That reminds me of the 85-year-old guy, and he's talking to somebody, and he says, what experience have you had? He said, well, I used to work at the Sahara Forest. And the guy says, are you kidding me? He says, the Sahara is a desert. He says, well, then.
That's cute. That's very good. I'll have to use that somewhere.
Yeah,
but anyway, no, so that's, so then I went to WINC in Miami, and I had a real nice time down there. I remember we used to broadcast on WINZ, and I used to broadcast from, if I don't just can remember this, what was the image line? Cousin Brucey from high atop the beautiful Biscayne Terrace Motor Hotel, overlooking beautiful Biscayne Bay.
Wow.
I remember, is that right? That sounds pretty close.
I would imagine that it is, you know, it's all in there somewhere, you know.
That's right. And I spent some nice time there. I had a good time working at that station, and once again helped develop what I wanted to do, and then one day I got a call from WABC.
Wow.
And it was Brucey come home.
Yeah, that we know about that, too.
It started, yeah.
You know, as a matter of fact, we were just discussing the other day the Four Seasons jingle that they did for you, which is ever embedded in our hearts, you know.
Yeah, that was quite a, what a gift that was. Frankie Valli and Bob Gaudio one day called me and said, we have a surprise for you. Can we come up? And I said, of course. So they came up to WABC and they gave me this gift. That night I played it, must have played it about 20 times.
Yeah, well, that's the consummate jingle.
Oh, it's amazing.
Can't you hear that groovy beat now, baby?
Baby.
Go, 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 go.
Can't you hear that drum man now, baby?
Baby.
Don't you want to clap your hands now, baby?
Come on, let's go, go, go. What a groovy show. Come on and go, go, go.
With Cousin Brucey.
Rightfully so. Now, you were the one that introduced the Beatles at Shea, is that correct?
Yep, yep, yep. Well, but that's Sullivan. We must correct ourselves a little bit. Ed and I were asked to introduce the guys at the huge Shea Stadium concert in 65.
Right.
And it was really wild. I mean, you had like 67, 70,000 screaming kids. There was so much noise there. I mean, I can still feel the noise in my chest. And there was so much energy, you probably could have turned off our Con Edison utility, and it would have churned and turned the turbines themselves just from that amazing cacophony. I mean,
that was
you couldn't hear a thing.
That was my last year of high school. You know, I was a senior.
Yeah, did you go there?
I didn't go. All my friends went, and I didn't go, and I'm still kicking myself.
Why didn't you go?
But I was a good kid, you know.
Wait a minute.
I did not get in the car with the other guys.
The
school was empty. Are you kidding me?
What a mistake. Because that's an experience, you know, no matter where you are or how old you are now, that's a day you always will remember.
Absolutely, and the school was empty. I got it.
Even
the teachers went.
It was so much. First of all, the boys came to us. We met them. They were in the dugout. They came in an armed vehicle, you know, when he's armored cars. It was pretty wild. And they brought him over to the dugout. And John Lennon came over to me with McCartney, Sir Paul, and he said to me, Cousin, that's what he used to call me, Cousin. Is this dangerous? This is going to be, because he was very scared of it. And I said, you know, very honestly, no. I said, they're all here to celebrate you. And they're Paul and Ringo and
right.
George. They're here. It's not a danger. It's a love. And their noise was deafening.
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't hear a thing. When Ed Sullivan and I, this is a, you want to hear a funny story?
Yes.
This is a good story. I always love telling this story. Ed Sullivan and I walked up to introduce the boys on the stage. I introduced Ed Sullivan. This has been on PBS many times, by the way. They documented this, and I get a kick out of watching it because I still can't believe, look at this, I was at this thing. So we go up the stairs, and Sullivan's ahead of me, and as we're getting, mounting the staircase, he turns around and he said, "Brucey, is this dangerous?" He said the same thing to me as John Lennon. And I looked at him, and I always wanted to get this guy because he was a stiff. He was really a square.
Yeah, no, I know.
He was a square. He didn't even know who the Beatles were, for God's sake. He had a call, Walter Cronkite, who also didn't know. Cronkite found out who the Beatles were from his daughter.
Uh-huh.
He asked his daughter. Anyway, that's a funny piece of tape that I have. I have a great piece of tape on that one.
Wow.
With Sullivan and Cronkite telling me the story. So we walk in the stairs, and he says, "Is this dangerous, Brucey?" You know, with that very stiff body.
Right.
And I said, you know what? In my head, I'm going to get him. I got him. And I said, "Ed, very dangerous." And he walked another step, and he turned around, and he says, "What do we do?" Because he doesn't do this. I do this. And I said to him, "Pray." And he looked at me and said, "Pray?" And his eyes bulged, and we walked up on the steps. Now, the postscript to all this is that that day, with those tens and tens and tens of thousands of people, young people in that stadium, nothing bad really happened. There was no fights.
Right.
Nobody got hurt, really. And it was great. The police and the security people were terrific.
Right.
When I got through doing my announcing duties, bringing the boys on with Sullivan, the police asked me to escort them, go with them, to calm the kids down. So we went around the skirt of the infield.
Right.
Any place, and we calmed everybody down. The kids were great. It was a great day.
Well, it's great in front of all those people. I sang the anthem there some years ago, and let me tell you, it's very surrealistic, you know, when you're out there. Yeah, well, you know, I sang with Harmony Street all those years. Yeah, and we used to...
Did you do a Beyonce lip sync?
Yeah, well, no, actually, we didn't. As a matter of fact, you know, we used to go on the doo-wop shop, and we used to hang out in your messy office over there.
Oh, okay, then I got it. Right.
And then... Bruce, you went to NBC, and of course, you know, I remember the old days with Howard, and I miss Joe McCoy was very good to me when I had Harmony Street, and I spent some time with Beethoven and the Salutations. I also sang with the Mystics when I came down to Florida for some years.
Sure.
And now I'm just doing recording and the show. I did.
How many years have you been doing this show?
This show about 6 years now, but slowly but surely I've built up a great audience, and I've interviewed Johnny Mathis and Lloyd Price and Mary Wilson and, you know, just about everybody, and our friend Terry Stewart.
Good, who's a terrific guy. I'm going to miss him. I think I was just talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Terry Stewart was the president and CEO of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, for those of you who don't know his name, and the terrific guy. Loves the music and really extremely bright. Yeah. Really astute and bright.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was the head of Marvel Industries for all those years as well. You know, when we did the White House, they actually saw us on a Fox feed going into the White House for a doo-wop group to sing, you know, at the White House Christmas party. And he called me and he said, "I want you at my New Year's party." At that time, he was living in Stanford, and we went there and we had a ball and whatever. And we became very good friends at that time. And
Sing with the group?
Say again?
You sing with the group? You're still around? You're still active with the performing?
Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, I do a show now with Ken Brady, who's the lead singer of the Casinos, and we do kind of a double thing, you know, around Florida. And, of course, I get calls all the time, come and be in our group. But, you know, really, you know, I'm married 4 years now to Paulette, and running out on the road and singing all over the country, you know, it's very taxing.
You're a tenor.
Yeah. As a matter of fact,
you can always use tenors.
I did a show at FAU last week. As a matter of fact, I had the Brooklyn Bridge with the new lead. I had the Dell.
Right.
The
my brother, Bob,
was
there, and he saw that show. He said it was a pretty good show.
Yeah, I was the MC, as a matter of fact.
All right. There you go. Well,
yeah.
Bringing some. Let's talk about this a little bit. We're bringing something very special. And, you know, I try not to do too many of these shows. I travel now because of my SiriusXM shows. I'm heard all over this hemisphere.
Right.
I've been... You know, getting bids from all over the place, in and out of the country, to come bring packages. I don't want to bring packages, but what I generally do is I'll call a producer and let them take care of it.
Right.
This one's pretty good. This one coming in on March the 8th, that's a Friday, and it's going to be my very first time performing in South Florida, as I said, since WIN Z days. We have the Platters, and of course the Platters, the lead now is Sonny Turner.
Correct.
Been there since the early 60s, and pretty good. Yeah, most of the groups, I'm not fooling anybody, they're gone, or
right.
they can't sing anymore. But my rule of thumb is that each group has to have at least one.
Oh, I agree.
At least one original member.
You know, and Herb was the last one, but Sonny certainly put his time in as the lead with the Platters, so...
And Tony Williams,
right.
It would be many times. I mean, look, let's face the Platters, that's like the face of rock and roll with the Clive McPlatters and all those other people who sang with them, but each one of these groups have had some tremendous people. Now, we got Charlie Thomas and the Drifters, one of the original Drifters.
You bet.
I've appeared with Charlie many times.
I'm sure.
Matter of fact, anytime somebody said, Brucey, who do you want? I'll always ask for the Drifters with Charlie Thomas, right? And Danny and the Juniors, well, that's going to be nice to be with those guys.
Sure.
And, of course, we lost Danny many years ago to a tragic end.
Right.
I mean, I'm going to tell all these stories when we're there.
Right.
The stories are quite interesting. The history of rock and roll is amazing, and what's happened to these groups. And then you have the Platters, the Drifters, Danny and the Juniors, the Chiffons. Excellent. They really are good.
Always great on stage.
Now, the Passions, which was the brother group to the Mystics. You know, the Mystics and Passions.
That's right.
Were run by a guy named Jim Gribble.
Big Jim Gribble.
Sure, yeah. And so they used to be at Palisades Park together with me
right.
all the time. The Cascades are going to be fun. The head of the Cascades, John Gummel, I don't think he's been appearing for quite a while. That's going to be an interesting.
Well, he lives in California, and this is going to be his first time in Florida in a long time, too.
It'll get some warm weather.
I just came
back from L.A. Let me tell you something. I got off the plane. I froze my tush off. I couldn't believe it was colder there than it was in New York City.
Wow.
Figure that out.
Well, you guys are getting snow now, no?
Well, we're going to get a lot. Yeah.
My daughters are on Long
Island.
It's
starting right now. It's starting to come down a little bit, but I don't know what's going to happen. The forecast, we're not going to get as much as they're going to get up in New England. So where are they expecting? Somewhere between 3 and 6 inches.
Right.
Which is, you know, livable. Up in New England, Boston area, they're expecting could be up to 2 feet.
You know,
that's ridiculous.
Well, down here, of course, we don't get snow, but we have trees that go sideways during the hurricane. So, you know, it's like there's always some kind of natural. Mother Nature doesn't spare anyone.
You get your storms, look, we all have a little bit, but it's all changing. It's all changing now. The whole weather system's changing. So anyway, on the 8th of
March.
At, I think, 8 o'clock curtain over there at the college.
Florida Atlantic University. And I want to tell you how many, you know, Joe Marione and I are very good friends, and we talk to each other, you know, almost every day. And I want to tell you how excited people are to know that Brucey is going to be down there and on the stage. I mean, you're going to be just filled with love when you get down there.
Well, that makes me happy. Because, you know, me and... I'll speak for myself, but I'll also speak for the other performers. When you feel love in the audience, as you know, you're a performer, you give back. They love, you give back love. They love more, you give back more. So it's really nice when an audience, but this music, as you know, has such an amazing amount of affection to it. You just bring these groups in there, and there's so much love in the room, even before the thing starts, because the music is so much part of our lives. This is like no other genre of music in history.
Absolutely, because in the audience you can have the president of the bank, the guy that puts the deposit in your bank, the guy that painted his house, the guy that sells him the bagels, and they're all sitting in the same row, and the common cause is the music brings them together.
That's
from
right.
Everywhere.
And everybody's there, and everybody's having a good time. And what I love about it, you know this, that the music is multi-generational. You'll have kids there, you'll have teens, you'll have 20s and 30-somes, and it appeals to everybody, not only just to people who are older teenagers, I call them, but it appeals to everybody, because the music is just basic and fun and clean and good, and that's what we're going to be doing.
No, I agree with you, and, you know, we're thrilled to have you in Florida. I wanted to ask you a question about Sirius, because a lot of us talk about this, and the question is this: how much input do you have in the music that's played on your show? I mean, I know that program directors are getting younger and younger, and a lot of times they think they know what the demographic is, but pretty much no one can tell Bruce what's going on, and I find that some stations are very middle of the road.
Well, I'm sure this will please you, but I hope you know this, but nobody, and I underline that bold, nobody goes near my shows. My deal with any station that I work with is that I select the music. Nobody tells me what music to play because, look, this is my music. And the program director that we have on my channel is 60s on 6.
Right.
His name is Lou Simon.
Uh-huh.
Lou is wonderful. Lou is not a kid.
Right.
He's been around this music. He's been on the air. He's been program directors. And he loves the 50s and 60s and 70s. And so he programs the channel except for one slot.
Right.
Me, Cousin Brucey. In fact, I'm at my desk now when we hang up. When I stop this with you, I go right to back to my computer.
Right.
I program all of my own shows. And I know what my audience wants. As you know, I specialize in 50s, 60s, my bass, and 70s.
Right.
That's my love. I think those are the three greatest decades of rock and roll that everything else was based on.
I'm glad to hear that. And, you know, I don't think people understand or appreciate how much time goes into programming a show and thinking through which song comes after which song and how you segue into this and that. It's, you don't just put it out there. There's a lot of forethought.
The same thing. When I program something, I hear it in my mind. I hear it in my heart. And like I tell people, I craft my shows very carefully. Now, my shows, if you listen, I talk to a lot of people.
Yes, you do.
It's really become almost like a variety show. It's music, but it's talk. And it's opinion, and it's feeling, and it's a lot of telephones,
and
a lot of guests.
And the other thing is, Bruce, you listen to people when they call you and they talk to you and they tell you things. You listen to them. I mean, a lot of DJs, you know, it's like somebody calls them up and they get the phone call and it's yeah, you know, and it's very rude.
Well, they're not listening. You know why, Michael? They're usually queuing up the next record and deciding what to do next. So
right.
It's like when you do a television show. You sit down with I'll do a television show when I did my books. I have a couple pretty interesting books out.
Oh, I know that.
When I did my book tour, I used to do these television shows, local TV shows all over the country, and a guy would ask me a question, and I'm answering it, and I'm looking at him, and I know damn well he's not listening because he's reading his next blue card of what to ask me.
Right.
You know, so I always want to throw him a hook, you know, but I never did that. Well, I'm too polite. I always want to say something silly and see if he picked it up. But most of these guys they disappear, but you're right. You know, one of the greatest arts that we have in our business is the ability, some of us, to listen to people, your guests. And whether it be Mrs. McDuff from Morgantown, West Virginia,
right,
or Ronnie Spector,
right,
or Bill Haley, or you name it, anybody, Mary Wilson, when right. they talk to you, you listen.
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, you know, I talk to Lala all the time. She was with you, I think, not long ago.
Oh, Lala Brooks?
Yep.
What a sweet, lovely.
You bet.
I'd love to see her really hit heavy. She's so talented. You ever see her in person?
Oh, absolutely. I've done shows with her. And
boy, I'll tell you, I don't know where. She must have, her, it's like a car getting lubed.
Right.
Like, every part of that body moves.
I used to live down the block from John Greenfield and Ronnie when I lived in Danbury, and I called Ronnie just recently. Ronnie would call me back.
They were just on the show.
Yeah.
In fact, the show is the encore this coming Sunday.
Right.
I don't know when you're going to put this on the air, but I just had him on Wednesday, and then I encore my show on Sunday, the Wednesday show. All my shows are live except Sunday.
Yeah.
And she has a new record out. You ought to check.
Oh,
it's
good.
Called Do I Love You. Remember Billy Stewart had that in the 60s? Well, she just covered it. And she did it for Valentine's Day. And it's wonderful. There's going to be an HBO special on on Spector. Was it Pacino playing? I think it's Pacino.
Oh, yes.
I think that's who's playing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be kind of strange.
Well, you know, he does. He yells a lot, you know. He's,
That's good. Well, anyway, I mean, there's so much you can talk about it.
Yep.
And I hope that everybody listening, all your friends, I hope that you'll be there.
Absolutely.
You know, press a little skin here. Shake your hand.
Great. Thanks a lot. Bruce, it's been great talking to you. You know, you're one of my idols, and I'll see you soon. As a matter of fact, I'll see you March 8th.
Good. And please remind everybody, I really want a big turnout there. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. Ciao. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye, Mike.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
A sound of gold, everybody. Good sounds here on Saturday night on the Cousin Brucey Show. Every other record sound of gold. Right now, listen to this one.
Hey, this is Mike Miller from the Harmony Street Show. There's a great show in Boca Raton on March 8th at the Carolyn Barry Kay Auditorium. For tickets, go to www.poprockdoopdoublep.com or call 561-922-9222. 561-922-9927. 561-922-9927. Paulette and I will be there. You be there, too. Here's my good friend, Cousin Brucie, to tell you all about it.
Hi, everybody. This is your Cousin Brucie inviting you to join me, please, at FAU in beautiful Boca Raton on Friday, March the 8th. See stars of the 50s and 60s in pop, rock, and doo-wop live on stage. Sonny Turner, former lead singer of the Platters.
Only you.
Charlie Thomas's Drifters.
There go my baby.
Danny and the Juniors.
Well, you can rock and you can roll and do the stop and even stroll it at the
hop. Mr. Bob.
Join my day.
Jimmy Gallagher and the Passions.
Just to be with you.
And cousins, for the first time ever here in Florida, the Cascades' original lead singer, Jean-Claude Gabon.
Listen to the rhythm of the falling rain.
And a very special surprise guest. You're going to love it. So come on, get some tickets. What are you waiting for? See you here in Boca Raton, Friday, March the 8th. It's going to be terrific.
This magic moment.
Tickets go to www.poprockduopdoublep.com or call 561-922-9927.